David Marsden is no doubt one of Canada's most influential broadcasters. With an incredible career spanning 50 years, he was honored on March 11, 2011, with the Alan Waters Broadcast Lifetime Achievement Award during his induction to the Canadian Music and Broadcast Industry Hall of Fame. What follows next is most of his acceptance speech as heard on stage at the Royal York Hotel Luncheon in Toronto, courtesy of Steve McCauley, 94.9 The Rock.
But together, radio and music are an amazing team. For a fleeting moment, I feel like I'm doing something from Dean Martin's show or whatever. What do you think, Frank? If you think about the shit we've done over the past 50 years with music and radio together, I mean, imagine, why would we stop doing that? Because there's new technology. The technology is not what it's about. It's about the creative stuff. It's about all the music that you've seen on that stage. And it's about the rest of us, the talkers who are on this stage. That's what it's about. If we're together and we use the technology, nothing can stop us. Nothing. You can twit and you can twat. You can Facebook. You can have chat rooms. I have all that stuff in the Marsden Theater. It's all the new technology. But when it comes to the music, I do it the old-fashioned way. I have some vinyl over here, and I have 7,000 or 8,000 songs on CD over here. I don't use the computers, I use the CD players, and I use the turntables. Oh yeah, every now and then I slip over to the computer and play something off of the hard drive. But I do it with my fingers. I do it with my head. This way. I do it with love. Because I just love the music that I play. Unlike some, I keep my monitors up during the show. There's a couple of people that I want to thank everybody, but that, they told me I had a minute for every year I've been in the business. So we'll be here for almost an hour. But there are a few people I want to thank. I'm going to start right off at the very beginning with the guy who first hired me. And for those of you who are young, like me, sometimes it takes a while to get in, but once you're in, it's really good. I knocked on the radio station doors, 33 radio station doors I knocked on. I sent out over 100 of what we then called tapes. And nobody would hire me. Everybody, I remember a guy up in Lindsay, some big fat program director, big shot guy, in Lindsay, Ontario. He said, David, go sell shoes. So anyway, my first job was in Chatham, Ontario at CFCO. And the guy who hired me was, I can't remember who hired me, but the guy who owned the radio station, his name was Jack Beardall. Jack Beardall had, hey, Jean-Marie, how are you? Jack Beardall was a radio station that hired a lot of people who were just getting started. A lot of them went on to be famous. In recognition of the fact that Jack Beardall gave me my first job, I invited his grandson to sit at my table today. Thank you, Michael Alexander. Then we moved on to John L. Moore, CHLO in St. Thomas, which is where I created the Dave Mickey character. One night, a guy named Walt Grealis, "Are you leaving? Are you not enjoying this?" We'll see if any more else people leave. Let's see if any others decide to get up and embarrass themselves by walking out on my big moment.
You rock, and I remember when you were Dave Mickey.
Oh my God, you don't look that old.
I am that old.
None of us are that old. Anyway, then a guy by the name of Walt Grealis, we'll all remember him. He tuned in one night. He was a record promo guy for London Records, and he tuned in one night and heard me on CHLO. And then he told Gene Kirby about Dave Mickey. And a few months later, I was a CKEY in Toronto. I'd been in the business a grand total of about 2 years. And at that time, Duff will tell you, in those days, you didn't get into Toronto radio until you'd been 7 years minimum. 7, 8 years. Duff made it in a year. Duff said to me earlier today, he said, we heard about you, and then we heard you. We didn't know what to do. By the way, there's a great special coming up. This Duff Roman and Jan Werner worked on called Young Street. It'll be playing on Bravo March 21, 22, 23. Okay. So from CHLO, that's where I met Paul Ski. And as Chuck mentioned, you tired Bolton Eaton said it that. As Chuck said, I gave him his first job, Paul Ski. He was an intern, he didn't get paid anything, and he answered my phones. Now look where he is. Big shot. I really respect what Paul has done, I'll tell you. One night, Paul came to the CKEY Good Guys booth down at the CNE to visit with me, and I took him into the circus wagon. And for 3 weeks, I heard about it. "You don't take anybody into the circus wagon." "No, I didn't know." "Got me in terrible trouble, you did, Paul." Then we went off to CBC, and I don't have anybody to thank there, Stan Jacobson, I suppose. Alex Trebek and I worked together for the first year on Music Hop. When I was living in Vancouver back in the 90s, I sent Alex Trebek a letter. Just kind of reminiscing about what we'd done and all this sort of thing. And about 2 months later, I go to my post office box in West Vancouver where I lived, and there's a brown envelope, 8x10. It's got the word Jeopardy in the corner, and I'm thinking, "Oh, Alex. Alex has replied. This is cool." Alex Trebek has sent me a nice letter before reminiscence. I opened it up. It was an 8x10 suitable for frame. And he autographed it. Wow, way to go, Alex. Then I met Jeff Sterling. He was a terrific guy. Bill Greca, Debbie Greca at Show FM. These were the people who helped me along the way. These were the people who said, okay, David, hey, Jesus, this is what you should do. And then next came Bob Lane. Too bad Bob couldn't be here today. He's so fucking old now. He can't be anywhere. I gotta tell you, a lot that I learned about managing a radio station came from Bob Lane. And every night I would do my show at Tumman Bam, and some of them were pretty outrageous. Jimmy Waters, a young 17 or 18-year-old Jimmy Waters, he was really handsome in those days, too. He would come and he would sit in the studio with me. I think he was stoned. Because he would just sit there. And I'd be pulling my mixes and be like, oh. I don't know if he's here today or not, I can't tell. But working with the Alan, with the Water, what's his name? Alan Waters. Working with him, the last time I saw Alan was on an elevator at St. Mike's Hospital. He was going in to have cataracts removed. I said, you know, Alan, I used to work for you. And he said, oh, that's good. What's your name? And I told him, and he said, I don't remember that. Which was cool, because he too by then was very old. Then I left Chum FM, and next came CFNY, where I thank Pat Hurley for making me program director, he and Ed Prevo. And then they left, I guess I was too much. And along came Selkirk. One of the most amazing people in my life. He's no longer with us. His name was Bill Hutton. Bill Hutton. He gets a call. Between Bill Hutton and Mary Curtis, who's at my table also, they kept writing the goddamn checks for me, and I kept spending them. That was pretty cool. Then I went to Vancouver, had a little holiday. There's nothing to do up there, you know. Sorry for you guys from Vancouver, but I don't know, there came a point where I said, you know what, I've seen all the trees. I was on Deadwood Street one day, everybody was rushing along, I was with my friend Jane Buffton, and his sister was in the back seat, and she said, oh my God, look, where's everybody going? There must be something going on, let's go there. And Jane says, they're just going on to the beach. And she said, oh, go on. I don't think many people want to go to the beach at this hour of the day. Jane said, yes, they're going to watch the sunset. And you know that's a true story. Actually, I loved my time in Vancouver. It was really swell. Then I get a call one day from Doug Kirk, whose wife is kind enough to be right here. I don't know where Doug is. But he called me. He only hires people by the name of Steve, by the way. So Steve McCauley and Steve Cassay. Oh, there you are right there, Steve McCauley. And Steve Cassay. And they take me for lunch. And they said, don't worry about it, I'm almost finished.
Oh, no, I'm looking okay. David, can you see Paul Ski from there?
Paul Ski? It's his birthday, you know.
I know.
Hey, wait a minute. Paul, where are you? Can you guys join me in this? 1, 2, 3. Happy birthday to you. Jesus, you're old. Holy fuck, you're old. I wasn't much older than Paul when we first met, so I know his real age. He's older than I am. So anyway, this Doug Kirk and Steve Passe and Steve McCauley took me for lunch. I lived downtown, so they took me to Bumstead's. That was nice. They looked at me and they said, by the way, Doug Kirk is one of the smartest owners, the independent owners in the world today. And he says to me, what will it take to get you back into radio? And I just finished up, half a decade and a half running Iceberg, the world's, at that time, the world's greatest media portal. And I said, I don't know, what are you offering? And they said, I can't believe they said it, but they did. They said, we'll let you do whatever you want. I said, would you put that in writing? And they said, yes, we will. I was 8 years ago. 8 years ago, and I'm still doing it every Saturday and Sunday night from 7 till midnight. And the ratings are through the roof. I actually can see my old radio station's bum. I'm like this far away from beating them. That'll be great when that happens. Because, Mr. Chorus, it is going to happen. You know, I mentioned CFNY, as did Chuck, as does everyone, because it was an incredible era, it was an incredible time. People say to me now, oh, corporate radio has taken over, you can't get anything done. Bullshit. CFNY was owned by the second largest corporate broadcaster in Canada during the 12 years that I had it. All you have to do is believe in your ideas. Love your ideas. Believe in what you believe is the right way to do things. And then figure out how to sell it to the guys in the suits. And if they're smart, they'll listen. If they're smart, they'll listen really closely. That's what McCauley and Cassie and Kirk have done. They've listened really closely. And it's paying off. So I invite you CEOs in your suits to start listening to the people you hire to do stuff. And more importantly, please, start listening to the radio stations you're in charge of. You record labels, get back there, knock on our doors. Do you know how much trouble I have to go to get CDs to play on my show? What? Knock on my door. I'll listen. I don't promise to play, but I will listen. You know I will. So do it. Now for what CFNY. CFNY wasn't just about me, everybody. CFNY was about an amazing team of people. Some of them are here today. I'm going to ask them to stand. Wherever you are, if you ever worked at CFNY, would you please stand and be recognized? want to meet the rest of them, there's a secret after party somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I want to thank you all very much. I want to thank Neil Dixon and his crew for giving me the opportunity to stand up here and say whatever I wanted to say. I really appreciate this moment. It's been a long time, and quite frankly, I didn't expect that it would ever happen. But I really appreciate it. I thank you. If you have a dream, if you have an idea, don't give up. Don't ever let anybody tell you that it can't be done. I'm living proof that it can be done and that you can do it your own way. Thank you all, you CFNY people. I appreciate that very much that you're here. I appreciate the support. Thank you, Igor. Thank you.